Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 11th, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 19, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us, 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can also find us on Discord. Let's get it right over here. Great way to talk to us through Discord there. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. If you go over to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat, you'll be able to find us. If you just go to our website, scroll all the way down, you'll find links that'll take you right there to it. And you can watch the show live while we broadcast. Busy week.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing week. But I'll get into that here in a moment. Gotta do this thing that we do.
Clap, clap.
Yeah. The old clapper. Huh. There we go.
A little stiff. Look a little stiff there.
Yeah, it was stuck.
Need some WD-40?
It was stuck. The tape that we put on there.
Yeah.
It's good. Thanks for getting that again, as always. Yeah. Really appreciate it. Helps me to edit the show, which is what I'll do after I get home from tonight's broadcast. Mm-hmm. I'll get the show. I go home. I edit the show. I put it on a USB drive here, take it home, put it on the hard drive at the house, go in the opening the video software, put all that stuff in there. Yeah, I'd load all that mm-hmm. stuff in, and then I chop out all the commercial breaks and make it one seamless video and audio part. Yeah. But oddly enough, when you're doing the video part, the audio loses. It starts synced, and then it gradually gets off.
It's been an issue for the longest time.
It has been. I don't know. It used to not be an issue, and then I don't know what changed.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll take a look at it. It's been a while since I've actually, you know, I just go through the motions. What's it called? It's autopilot. You know, it's just here. This is what I do. Never really looked at it and gone back to see if, like, is it still off? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'll take a look. I think it is, but doesn't matter. Regardless. No big deal. So, anyway, that's why we do that. Anyway, welcome everybody into the show. Been a very busy and confusing week. We're going to jump right into what we have been playing because there really isn't much to say in that part, especially with RJ. Elden Ring, right?
Yeah, I've been doing cleanup in Elden Ring for the past week.
On the new game plus or just original?
No, come to find out that when I played my alt character, I realized that I've missed, at least to my knowledge, 4 bosses in my first playthrough.
Well, that happens.
So,
I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The first playthrough of any Souls game, you're going to miss some things and make some mistakes here and there, and you clean it up in the after game. But in my case, I missed a lot of bosses that gave a lot of stuff that I could have used in some of the battles.
But you already
that I had
beat the game, though, right?
I've already beat the game.
Okay. So you didn't really need what they offered.
Not after I picked it up. Could have helped, but I didn't need it at the time.
Right, gotcha.
It just made the battle a little harder than it should have been. So for the next playthrough, before I go into the next playthrough, I want to clean up stuff, you know, pick up trophies here and there, get everything, collect everything that I can before I step in the new game. But other than that, the guidebooks that I was looking for finally was put on Amazon by Future Press, which is the only guidebook I really want to get into, because they, for years, they've done a thorough and excellent job with their Strat guides, hardcover and everything.
Prima Games?
Prima used to do that, yeah. But for me, it's always been a Future Press ever since I bought the one for Bayonetta, which is I think is still a ridiculous price on eBay. It's probably four figures last we checked. But the game was so big, and I guess because of that, there was such a delay, because these aren't coming out until July and September, because it's two volumes. Volume one of the guidebook comes out late July. Volume two of the guidebook comes out late September.
Yeah.
And both of them are over 500 pages long. Now, Future Press has done this before with Bloodborne. Bloodborne had a strat guide, and then they made a book for the DLC. Not too much difference in thickness in that. They wanted to be thorough, I guess. So in this case, I wanted the same thing happen, but it's too big to get a press, and they spent a lot of time on Horizon Forbidden West before they went to Elden Ring, and so this is the result. So I got that pre-ordered on the way. So when that comes in, I can really find all the stuff that I missed in my first playthrough if I don't find it all by the time those books are released.
And I'm looking up one that I had gotten, and I'm trying to find if that was a Future Press or... See, that's... Yeah, it's not... That's the one I got. Anyway, I'll look that up later.
Which game was it for?
Zelda.
Mm.
Breath of the Wild.
Hmm.
It came with the Collector's Edition, which makes me think that it was... obviously, it was Nintendo commissioned. It might have been Nintendo published and everything else.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, they do that. They keep a tight grip on all their stuff and who gets to put anything out for the product, right? Yeah.
Lethal asks, if you beat the game already, why do you need a guide? The guides are really art in of themselves.
Yeah.
Can be that way, depending on which ones you're going after. Now,
one, collectability. Because I've collected the souls guides ever since they came out.
Right,
so
you're just doing that. You fell down the hole, so you might as well just keep going.
Yeah,
right?
I keep going. And like I said before, they're very thorough in what they do. So they're going to get stuff in there that I'm going to miss, things I didn't know.
I don't blame you for going that route, or even having that collector's itch.
Mm-hmm.
Of which I have, and I use the term collector loosely when I talk about myself, because it's more of a hoarding thing than it is a collecting thing, but not so much so in guides. Used to be, because they used to be really, really prevalent. You'd go into...
Essential.
I remember going into Best Buy.
Yeah.
I can definitely remember going into Best Buy, and there was a whole wall of a little segment of the wall with, you know, dedicated to, here's your guides, you know, and there was a ton of them, and you know, the artwork, the cover art would draw me in, but the hardbacks and that sort of thing, those would be the ones I'd look at. It kind of works on the same as the steelbook level. Like, is it pretty to look at on the outside? Because, you know, that's how it's going to be seen mostly.
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't buy it for the strategy within, although there were times that I would, you know, what's going on with this? Especially back in the day before, before you could just go online and watch a video of it being done, which, you know, that's been around for ages now. Of course, it's been ages since I bought a strategy guide. The one that came with the Breath of the Wild Collector's Edition or whatever it was, very, very well made, hardback or hardcover guide. Quality on the paper was great and everything else. It was really, really nice. So in a collector's aspect of things, I can totally understand why you would get one, regardless of whether you use it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You could just be just a huge fan of the series, and I want to get everything I can about this thing. You know, I didn't need a City of Heroes guide or City of Villains guide, but it was really nice what they had done to build those, and so I got them. I don't use them anymore. Missed. I collected those guides. Didn't need them.
Any of those hardcover?
No. The City of Villains strategy guide, which I think was Prima Games, was a three-ring binder.
Yeah. Really? How many pages was this thing?
I can't remember. It's still at the house. It's in my desk where the computer and stuff is.
I think a binder would have to be at least back then, but at least 500 pages.
It's
at least.
Not necessarily because it was full of pages, but because, you know, that was an MMO. It was an ever-evolving type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they would send you the update to it if you ordered it.
Okay.
And it would just come with the paper that you put into the binder.
Okay.
Rather than having to buy that again. If I'm remembering correctly, it is a three-ring binder. I can tell you that.
It is.
It's one of the strangest strategy guide things that I've ever used before,
mm-hmm.
or just owned. I don't even know if I ever used it. Maybe for a build or something. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what my. I didn't really have any kind of favorites. I bought Zelda came with the game.
Yeah.
Then I bought Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was such a fan of what they had done with the Zelda Breath of the Wild one, I picked up the Mario Odyssey one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, hardcovers also on that one.
Yeah,
I can't remember the publishers on either of them.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can be a fan of the game, and it's like, well, I'm going to collect, you know, every little thing I can for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Or series, or whatever it might be for you. Oddly enough, never bought a Uncharted strategy guide or a Burnout. Wait a second, I take that back. I did buy a Burnout strategy guide.
Mm-hmm.
It was not. I don't know if it was Burnout Paradise. It might have been.
That was your favorite in the series, right?
Yeah, my favorite in the series is probably Revenge.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know if that's a hot take or not. Revenge is when they introduced traffic checking, where you could bump into traffic going in the same direction you were.
Yeah.
You could rear end people and move them out of the way.
Hmm.
But the way the physics worked, when you rear ended somebody, it just shot them in front of you. You know, it wasn't like it pushed them out of the way.
Yeah.
It's just, boom, they suddenly disabled and carried on with whatever momentum they had.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity became nothing, and it was just, boom, and you push them out of the way.
Well, when has physics and gravity ever been accurately represented?
Yeah, I understand. Or in any kind of a arcade racer type thing, but
yeah.
I totally get it. No, I remember it came in useful, and I want to say it was for Paradise. It might not have been Paradise. It might have been Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but I do remember using it because I needed to know. It had to have been Paradise. Had to have been Paradise because there were time trials. Anyway, they had a big map and in the strategy guide, and that would tell you here's where all the intersection points are and what these are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't need it for anything except the time trials, the ones where you've got to get from this point in this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You're not racing anybody but the clock and whatever traffic's on the road.
Yeah, whatever obstacles in your way.
Whatever traffic else is on the road. And so I could use that map, and they're like, this is your path, you know? And this is why it's coming to me, because there were no pathways in Burnout Paradise. It was, here's your start, here's your finish, figure out how to get there yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas most racing games would set the course of how you need to move around in there. The Paradise did not. And so having that guide there helped me out, only with the time trials. It really didn't help me out with anything else. Maybe some of the billboards that I was looking for, some of the collectible things inside the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... And Burnout Paradise was 2008, I think. So, and that's probably one of the last ones that I bought for use.
Mm-hmm. Actual use,
necessity, rather than hey, I like how the
collectability
way it looks.
Yeah.
So yeah, Elden Ring for you, for me, it has been Destiny, of course. I grinded so much Iron Banner last week, but I got to what I needed to do. Pulled it off on Monday. I could not finish it up Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, I needed to score like 25, 23 points or something in a game. And in
Iron Banner?
Yeah. The game style is Rift, which is basically it's kind of capture the flag.
Okay.
Basically, though, it's you know your base, their base. Mm-hmm. Flag spawns in the middle. Go pick it up and drop it off in their base.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it back to yours. You got to go drop it off in their base. That's basically the type of play that it was.
Okay.
And so you didn't get points for you know, killing the other team or anything like that. You got points for if somebody on your team had the flag and you know, got rid of somebody who was aiming your flag carrier, then you got a point for that.
Okay, defending the flag carrier. Okay.
Yeah. If you picked up the flag, you got a point for that. If you dropped, you know, if you deposited the flag in their base, you got a whole 5 points for that.
Okay.
So you could get multiple points in a round just by picking up the flag, dropping it, picking it up again.
Yeah.
You don't really have a lot of time to do that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's after you. But I did, and it was not going well. I was like, I got a point on that one. I got a point here. Well, if I play 23 games, I'll eventually get there if I can just do a point a game at least.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I had a run. They do 5 rounds, and I had a fantastic run. I wish I was streaming, and I think it's going to – I think I will start streaming more of my Destiny plays.
Yeah. Which class did you use?
Hunter?
Yeah. Okay, so you use the dodge and the disappearing act.
The invis? Yeah. I used a lot of smoke and invis when I was doing that. Mm-hmm. It didn't help too much, but it pulled some things off there. But yeah, the one that got me there, I had a great – this was a complete pickup team. It was not anybody I knew. It was just one of those things where it pulled all these people together who – didn't know who anybody else
just
was.
Just happened to be online together.
Here, you guys are playing together. Go. Grab this. Well, it's called the Spark, but the flag. Mm-hmm. Grab that. That was a point. Lost it. Got revived. Was able to pick it back up. That was another point. Lost it again. Got revived. Was able to pick it up because everybody was in close quarters trying to do what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was in little hallways and stuff. Finally picked it up and saw that everything was clear. My team was at their base. There was nobody around from anybody else's team. And there's a trick. If you can do it, if you're that confident, if you walk backwards into where you're depositing, your character will do a backflip and do the dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw that moment, backflip, dunked it. I got 2 triumphs out of that because it put me over the edge of what I needed, and it also completed what I needed to get the title. And so now I'm good. I don't have to worry about that.
So you got some style points with that.
Yeah, I got some style points. It was nice. So Destiny is what I've been playing, and talking about Zelda.
Yeah.
Wendy wanted to try. We watched a video on YouTube of Link's Awakening for Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and she thought it looked really cool. And it's always looked really cool. I just never put it in the machine and played it.
Mm-hmm.
It has that, it's isometric, it's got an isometric view.
Mm-hmm.
But everything looks plastic. Like everything's, like they're all little plastic toys.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they've done the art style on that. So she was very drawn to that and curious as far as like, what are you doing it, that sort of thing. And so loaded it up for her to play. She was playing a little bit, got stuck into a thing, handed me the controller. It was a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Don't hand me the controller. I will not play. I mean, I will play, but I won't give it back apparently. So I just kept going and kept playing. And it reminded me of the way Zelda games play, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was confusing as far as, like, what am I doing? What am I figuring out? Because they don't really tell you a lot of stuff, and that's fine. Like, they gave me... I was able to get this powder stuff. The witch made this potion.
Mm-hmm.
And I could, flick it, and it was like this smoke powdery thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it did. Probably hurt enemies or something. I didn't know. But it turned out you have to use it for another character, and then that person gives you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way Zelda works, man. It's discover on your own.
You never see another lot of games going that route. Just like throw you in the deep end and you'll figure it out. Because for the longest time we haven't had an instruction manual given in the game in years.
Well, yeah, because they put the tutorials inside the games themselves.
If they put the tutorial in the game,
yeah.
Lately, yeah.
Well, for Zelda, I think it's more of a situation where. You don't necessarily, you will discover this stuff on your own. And if you ever get stuck, you just go online and find out what you need to do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not necessarily of them holding your hand. There was probably, and if I had paid any attention, there's probably a description of what that stuff was that they gave me, which would have easily alerted me to what I'm supposed to do with it. Did I pay attention to any of that? No. Because it's Zelda, and I'm thinking, I'm 43 years old. I've played enough Zelda to know what to do. That's potion. That helps fight enemies. Sure.
Yeah.
It's hubris, I suppose. I'm not sure. So we played Zelda, And what else did I play? I downloaded and installed City Skylines again. Or I installed City Skylines again. Mm-hmm. But I also got all the DLC from the Humble Bundle thing that was going on.
Yeah.
So I picked up all the DLC for that. I opened it up, went to one of my, previously built cities, and was just overthrown with just notice after notice after notice and all these. I was like, what has gone on with this city? It's horrible. It's in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I'm not doing this. I'll start fresh some other time. I'm not getting into this right now, but I'll start fresh again. So I closed it.
Now, it was just the notices that were bad, or the city itself?
No,
was,
the city itself was going to, it was all, there was so, the businesses were on fire and all this other. It was, I don't know why either, I don't know why I left it in that state, or if it just became that state because I had left it there for so long. 2015. Yeah.
Dang.
I know. It's been a while since I played the game. A
slight minute, yeah.
So I kind of want to go back to that and just
Business is not just shut down. They're on fire.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I also picked up a $3 game the other day called Tile Cities. Picked it up last night. Played a little bit of it this morning. Was really hoping it to be kind of a discovery like Vampire Survivors was. $3 game, but hey, there's a lot of gameplay here. I'll look into it a little bit more to figure out exactly what I'm supposed to do, but it is bare bones. Basically, it's a city builder, but it's tiles.
It sounds like a card type thing. Yeah. Use this card to do this or whatever.
And the tiles are in different shapes, and you can make connections and do this stuff. I haven't really figured it all out, and there is a method to continually expanding your city and not running out of room or something like that in order to do that. You have gauges. It's very, very simplified, very, very bare bones on it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few controls as far as turning the tiles any way you want to and then clicking to place. That's it. You can pan the screen because your city does become big where you do have to, you know, move the screen and the camera to get to the other places, but
just one layer, or is it stacks?
It's so far one layer, but I mean, think of you as basically building a map.
Yeah, okay.
You have a bunch of map pieces, or continuously, you have continuous map pieces, but they're given to you at random. So maybe you get a park piece, you know, that's just nothing but green. So you want to make a park in the middle of your city or something like that. Eventually, you get something that has a red border on the end of it, but that is that's like a railway system or a road or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you get red borders, you want to put those where they can so they can bring people to different places and that sort of thing. So, but again, I only played just a little bit of it this morning, and I got to the point where I had filled everything up and I couldn't expand any further. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what the objective was. I have, I think, 3 or 4 meters on the bottom of the on the bottom left-hand side of the screen, and those fill up. And you can see before you place a tile if that's going to add or if it's going to subtract from whatever those different colored things are. It does not tell you, but you can kind of guess green is land.
Mm-hmm.
I think orange is a business or residential. I think blue is just people, maybe. I'm not sure.
They said red was roads. That's just on the tiles themselves, not in the meter?
Yeah, not in the meter. Roads, okay. Yeah, roads don't factor in. I want to say it's people, residential, commercial, and like park, you know, like park area, lakes, and things like that. So, I wasn't sure if I'm supposed to, am I supposed to get those all to fill up? And so that's what I went for, and I did it, and that's when it hit game over. You have run out of space, blah, blah, blah. So obviously,
it's like Tetris. You get to the top, you're done. Yeah.
The objective is to not reach that, is to minimize that. So I'll know that the next time I dump back into
resource
it.
Management.
$3 game, and I was curious about it. Daniel, who used to be on the show, and you used to work for Bungie, he was playing it. He and I share the same interest in the city builder simplicity type stuff, you know, minimalize type things. And I'm good with that, but yeah. And what else did we play? We downloaded this was going to lead into to what we're going to talk about for the majority of the show, which is the Summer Games Fest, the not E3.
Yeah.
Or the Keighley 3, I guess. Jeff Keighley's Keighley 3. We saw that Saints Row released a character creator. that you can work on right now. You can create your character and then import them into the game whenever the game releases in August.
Okay, so they did the same thing with Saints Row the Third, I think.
I thought they did.
There was a demo that came out, and it was the character creator. And you can make your character and see what he or she looks like for your in-game play. Yeah, that was the demo that came out.
Yeah. So there, that was out, and as soon as Wendy saw that, she's like, "Oh, we have to get that." And so we downloaded it on the Xbox, but then I realized, no, you can download it on your PC. Apparently, you can only download it on the Epic Game Store.
Only from them.
Well, for the PC.
Okay, yeah.
Saints Row, or whatever the next Saints Row is, I don't know what they're calling it. I think they're just calling it Saints Row.
Yeah.
Is that an Epic game? Is that an Epic Store exclusive? Maybe? I don't know.
I couldn't
find the character creator on Steam.
Oh, okay.
But I could easily find it on Epic Game Store, which is why I kind of bring that up. That's why I kind of say that. So, yeah, she got to creating her her character, and I think she was working on a second one today, this morning.
Because
you can make a bunch and just save them and then import them. Yeah. And then you can upload them for people to see, and people can download them and work on them on their game if they want to, and that sort of thing. People have made some really cool ones there. Somebody was able to create She-Hulk, a very good rendition of She-Hulk.
Because you can. I remember going off a demo from Saints Row the Third. You could change the skin tone to ridiculous colors and whatnot. The voices. One of the voices options was zombie.
Yeah,
if I recall.
Outside of Scooby himself, the entire Mystery Machine or Mystery Inc., where somebody created all of those characters in the game. Somebody created Tommy Vercetti.
Okay.
From Vice City.
Miami shirt and all?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. With the floral print on the thing. Okay. Totally. It's really, really good. Who else? Somebody made Eggman from Sonic.
Okay.
Yeah. Sonic 2, have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I did watch it. Good on you.
Recommend it.
Oh, good on you. Really? Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey's the heart of that.
Yeah. He was a star in 1 and 2.
He makes it go in that film. Oh, fantastic. There's a lot of stuff that people are making with that. So there is that. And if there is anything else that I played, I am completely misremembering now at this point. So, that's what I've been playing, or what we've gone through and played. You're going to hear some music from some of these games that I've been talking about. We're taking a break now. Although I did want to real quick mention Lethal Migraine said that he's been playing the game Lake. It's a nice, chill game. I do want to ask you, I'm going to ask you this on the air, Lethal, and you can just type your reply in the chat room there, because I am curious. I demoed that game Lake. And I know it's chill. It's very chill. You just drive around a lake and make deliveries. Is that all you do? Is there any more? Does the game progress more than that? Is there a story there? Is there more of an objective than just delivering mail? I was really curious. The demo, that's all there was. And so I'm curious if the full game expanded beyond that. But I don't know. So you can answer me in the chat room there. We have a game here that was showcased on one of the Summer Games Fest trailer things. It's out now on the Nintendo Switch and at least on PC. It may also be on consoles. It's a game called Card Shark. And it is...
I think about the old game show. Yeah.
You remember the theme for Card Shark?
No, I don't.
It was a bunch of clapping. Yeah.
Probably simulate card shuffling.
I mean, it was Casio keyboard, clap key, and that's all it was.
just jam on it. Yeah, that's
all it was. I'm kind of interested in it. I've watched a trailer for it, but I should probably watch a review or some other gameplay to know, like, is this really what you want to do? Mm-hmm. And thank God for that nowadays, right? We're talking about, you know, how strategy guides are kind of obsolete since you can just go online and look up stuff.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with knowing how you're going to like a game. Used to, I have to look at magazine pictures and think, well, it looks good in this picture.
Yeah.
Hope it plays okay, you know, or hope that some TV ad showed video of how the game played, or maybe your friend has it and you could see what it looked like to be played.
Right.
Now you just go on YouTube and look up, you know, gameplay reviews or something like that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I may complain about the state of things. You know, I may get old man angry.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, ah, tech, meh. But thank God it's there. It saved me plenty. I'd say it saved me money.
There's been plenty of times when I'm pretty sure plenty of gamers have looked at had their doubts, were on the fence about something. All they had to do was wait for the eventual YouTuber or Twitch streamer.
Yeah,
to start playing it brand new.
You don't got
to wait long at all.
Day of,
someone wants to be first, so they're going to put it out there for the world to see, and you can just go right on there and look and see if you like it or not.
Well, we're going to come right back with more of in-game chat music here from Card Shark. It's the main theme. Kind of takes place in like a medieval time, but it does involve playing cards. I'm not exactly sure how they factor in. There's also apparently sword fighting. I don't know. We're going to find out. So, well, I say we're going to find out. I'm going to do some more research on it. We'll be right back with more of in-game chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Bug Fables. I've never... Again, this is me looking up music that is, I say, what's been released this week? And then I get this. And if I run out of stuff, I go over to Wario64's Twitter and I look to see what's been on sale. And this was something I think that was released recently for one of the things. I don't know.
This was released, the one I see, Bug Fables, The Everlasting Sapling.
Maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's got pretty good ratings.
Oh, really?
10 out of 10 on Steam, 4.5 out of 5 on GOG, and 8 out of 10 on Nintendo Life.
All right. Well, fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, did you get a chance to watch any of the Summer Game Fest stuff, which is the not E3 thing, whatever it's called? But anyway.
I just saw the stuff on Street Fighter.
I'm sure you saw Street Fighter 6.
And looked at the stuff that's going on there. But
well, all what did they reveal? Other than
I looked a little bit there, and then I saw the release for Guile.
Yeah.
They put the Guile video out there. And I was looking at the speed of the game and what was going on. I'm pretty sure, because this is early. I mean, the game's not coming out to 2023.
Are you getting something from it?
It appeared sluggish to me, but maybe that's for me playing five and what other fighting games that seems to go faster. But like I said, it just seems that way to me right now. So I have to probably look at it again and compare it directly, but side to side or back to back with other gaming videos. But my initial look at it, it looked a little sluggish to me. Maybe that's just some perception on my part, but that's how it looked. My initial gut feeling on that was sluggish. But like I said, it's early. It's a pre-build. So 2023 is when it's going to come out, and I'm pretty sure they're going to get some feedback and make improvements here and there. But visually it looks very appealing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There was a lot revealed. I mean, a ton. There's no way that I can go over every single thing that was revealed. Feel free to throw stuff into the chat room, you know, throw out titles that caught your eye. Last of Us getting a standalone multiplayer game.
We were talking about it off the air. I mean, look, Last of Us is a story based game. You're here to you're here to get a story. I mean, visual appealing. I mean, when you think about the gameplay or the frame rate or any of those other things you think about with other video games, you're playing this game strictly for story. I mean, you're not interested in multiplayer. If you want an indication, look at the multiplayer that was stuffed in for the original Last of Us. Do you know anybody that spent any time with that?
No, I don't. But I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like there's no reason they create something like that if there's not an audience for it. And I feel like maybe there's just some, and I was going to say some underground audience who love the multiplayer for Last of Us. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, if it's that big of a deal for them to put that much effort to it, surely you would know that there's that many people who love to do that. But I don't know of anybody.
Okay, look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong on this. But I have to think that it's definitely the minority of players who wanted to play this game.
Then
playing
why would
for
you
that.
Why would you spend so why would you put, why money would you put, money and put all that time into it to make that for that? I don't
look
know.
Maybe it's one of them trends that companies try to make where they try to like satisfy everybody and end up satisfying no one. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. They're trying to satisfy everybody and threw that in there, but I certainly wasn't looking for it. Like I said, I'm strictly for the story, not any multiplayer aspect for it.
It was going to be a downloadable mode, but they said during development the scope of it ballooned and they decided to spin it into a standalone title. So yeah, it's going to be out next year. They also said that they're working on a PS5 remake of the first Last of Us game.
Yeah.
Which came out in 2013, was remastered in 2014, and this new version will be out September the 2nd of this year. And there's another one where it's like, well,
head scratcher.
How again, a little bit. We have a remaster from 2014. I understand you don't really, you know, I'm sure there's better that you can do with it for the PS5 if you want to, but I just feel like it's a situation where Naughty Dog is probably a ways away from releasing a PS5 title, a true PS5 title.
Mm-hmm.
Last of Us Part 2 came out at the end of the PS4's, you know, I say the end of their whatever. It was the same year the PS5 was being released. But it came out in the summer of that year, the summer before maybe? Or I think it was the summer of that year.
Was it implied, implied to be the last big hurrah AAA title for the PlayStation before we start moving everything over to the PS5?
So they are probably, I'm sure they're in development on something for the PS5, but it is probably such a ways out that I think Sony is like, I know he says, well, it ballooned in this thing. Sure, Neil. Fine. I believe you that it probably did get bigger, but not something where you'd need to put it in a standalone title for the multiplayer aspect. I don't care about that.
Gut feeling right now. If you
gut feeling is that Sony said do something, release something.
Release something, yeah. But
either this year or next year that we can promote that can bring, and it needs to be, or they probably told them it needs to be Last of Us. They probably said, well, we just did the Uncharted Lost Legacy, or whatever it was, that thing that came out in January.
Yeah.
And they're probably like, okay, do Last of Us now.
Yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of this. Your gut feeling on how much, did they mention price or anything like that?
Yeah. $70.
For a
It's available now.
For a standalone.
I say it's available now. What I mean is it's available for you to pre-order now. Yes.
I can't see it for $70.
Well, it's there. let me see what I can find here. If I can find anything at all, it doesn't have, nothing in here mentions the, yeah, in fact, here's the first comment on this article says, was there a huge market for this? Were the masses clamoring for this to be updated? Modern gameplay and visuals? Is The Last of Us some ancient relic here? I get remastering things, but this? It's not even a decade old. It was a late PS3 title. Was remastered on the PS4 like a year or two later. Do we need to release one of the most polished and celebrated games of all time on every new Sony platform from here on out? According to Sony, I bet you do.
I'm so sure $70 for it.
It's probably the weakest of remasters, but just called that so they can charge $40 or $60 for the PC release instead of $15 or $20. Yeah, it's also getting a PC release as well, which is kind of a big deal. That's nice that you're going to get Last of Us on PC. But yeah, that's a little, I don't know. I don't feel like it's too soon, but just, something we don't need. I say that as maybe there's somebody out here.
Maybe there's a market for it, but in the end, the numbers will tell us in the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be particularly interested in how many, pick up the, a standalone multiplayer for a story-based game that I'm just curious what the numbers will be when that drops.
Right, I know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It might be such a thing where the
like
audience,
it could be wrong. It could be a bigger group out there than I'm thinking. But I'm thinking it's a minority of people.
They may buy it up though because it's like, oh, here's something new.
Yeah,
sort of new from Naughty Dog, and so I'm gonna buy it and see. I don't know. I haven't seen any gameplay of it or anything like that. Be interesting to see how they market it. Be interesting to see how they push the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We also saw a lot of trailers that we saw. A lot of stuff for the games that we saw gave dates finally for when these things were going to be coming out. Midnight Suns, which is a Marvel game from Firaxis, and 2K, that is going to be released in October. I remembered Midnight Suns was coming out, and I remembered it was Firaxis, and I thought, hey, if I can get some XCOM meets Marvel type thing where I have those controls or that kind of, 4X gameplay, whatever it's called, that sounds like something I'd be interested in. And then I started watching a gameplay demo. And one of the first things that it said, if you're, obviously knowing who's making this game and what they've done previous with Civilization or XCOM, then they said, if you're looking for something where you thought you were going to get, XCOM in your Marvel game, this is not it. And I started watching the gameplay and it involves cards and all these other, and I that was it. I was like, nope, I'm not interested. If you had given me XCOM with Marvel characters, I'd have been fine.
But cards is the turnoff, huh?
It was while I was watching that video, because as soon as the cards popped up and was, I thought, man, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there will be something that it kind of explains it to me where it'll be more clear to me exactly how the gameplay works, whether or not I want to make that decision yet. But I was hoping for, something like that.
Yeah.
If it was going to be done that way. Otherwise, I could have gone completely with it's just Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but it's Midnight Suns. It's these specific characters that you can play with. So I thought, yeah, but no, it's not what we got. What else? Aliens Dark Descent. This was interesting. Not at all interested in, this is a rant for another time, even though it's a rant I've probably made plenty of times. If you're going to show me your trailer, or if you're going to give me a date, especially a date that's close, give me some gameplay.
Yeah.
Stop this. I know you do it to set up like what you're trying to set up, but once you've done that, take 30 seconds to build that whole, hey, you're in the Alien universe now, right? Alien movies and that sort of thing. You're in the Alien universe. Okay, great. Now here's the gameplay. Show us some of that, if you have that to show. Because I can tell you now, looking at seeing the reveal for Dark Descent, they say no gameplay footage yet, but I'm pretty sure I saw gameplay footage of that. and it looked isometric. It looked XCOM-ish. Again, to stay in that realm, it looked like that. Which, for one thing, I was like, "Oh, good. Then I'm not really worried about the jump scares and everything else that it's going to throw at me, like every single Alien does. Mm. I can actually get into strategic combat with my Space Marines and shooting the aliens." Because the way, and I swear, it was just a glimpse of gameplay footage that I saw. It looked very isometric, and you tell that character to shoot here, go over here, take cover here, do all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Squad-based type stuff. It looked really, really... I liked that aspect of it. We got the announcement from Bloober Team, which is a great development team name. They're a good developing house anyway. But Layers of Fear, well, it's going to be called Layers of Fears. It is the third in the Layers of Fear trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had Layers of Fear and then Layers of Fear 2, but then they come back and say, we're going to make something called Layers of Fears.
Just with 3 at the answer.
I suppose so. That's what they said. The Bloober Team has returned with another psychological horror game. Rats, specters, floating corpses, random fires, an eerie mansion, plus the scariest thing of all, a double plural. Layers of Fears. Layers of Fear has been a non-typical horror game.
Yeah.
It's mostly a puzzle game with some scares thrown in. There's not, or at least from what I remember, there's not really combat. There's just you in a house figuring things out. Which has always appealed to me. But for some reason, I never really caught on to it. But I'm glad they're keeping with that and still doing it. A lot of people were expecting a Silent Hill announcement from them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not what we got. Another game called Fort Solus. I don't know what that is. It's a space scary game, but that's very little was shown. Game called Routine. This is a game that has been in development for like 10 years. Apparently it was shown off years and years and years ago and then never heard of again. And then it came back at this thing and said, oh, you know, we're still doing this.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Game called Metal Hellslinger, which is basically just metal music and you... It's FPS, first-person shooter, and you shoot to the beat. You know?
Hmm.
Make explosions, reload, shoot, and it's all timed to a beat.
Hmm. So, okay.
The Call of Sea devs are releasing a game called American Arcadia. It's a side-scrolling platformer with a really cool art style. It's about citizens of a 60s accented futuristic metropolis who don't realize that they're part of a reality show. I like the trailer for that one. I think it did show off some gameplay. By the way, Metal Hellslinger showed off gameplay. Routine did not. Fort Solus did not. Layers of Fears probably showed game. I think it did show gameplay, but that's fine. When you're doing a sequel, you know, this is how the game's going to play. You don't really have to show the gameplay on that.
Yeah.
Unless there's some new tricks, you know, for them to do. We got some gameplay of Shredder's Revenge. Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a release date. They're going to put a 6-player mode in that game.
Really?
Yes.
Is there going to be enough room on the screen? Goodness.
I know. Well, they showed that off.
Okay.
So they had all 4 turtles.
Right.
And then you can have, they added Casey Jones to it. So Casey Jones in there and then April. Or Splinter.
Mm-hmm.
He's also playable. So, okay. Yeah, you've got 7 to choose from, but you can have a 6-player co-opable thing going on.
6-player melee going on. Okay.
Yeah, it's really kind of nice. Mm. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will do some more of what's been going on at Summer Games Fest. We've also got Microsoft Bethesda's little thing going on tomorrow. I'll try and find the schedule of... there was stuff going on today. Started Thursday, Friday, did some stuff today. They're doing some stuff tomorrow. I don't know if it carries into like Monday of next week. I think it does because I think some other things are planned. Some things that are just very specific. Like I think Square is doing a Final Fantasy VII anniversary stream of something.
Mm.
And some other publishers and developers are doing like extended gameplay reveals and stuff.
Yeah.
That'll be focused on that. So, yeah. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat. Here's music from The Quarry. Supermassive Games. It is it's from the trailer, which maybe that's in the game, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's why I grabbed it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Super Mario Strikers. Road to the Striker Cup. Welcome back. We're going over the games of the Summer Game Fest. There's no way ever that we're going to be able to cover all of them. So I'm just trying to hit some of the, I say some of the highlights, but really I'm going down a list of stuff that is here. A game called Nightingale that was shown off. Warhammer 40,000, Darktide. That was the world premiere of that reveal on that one. What else? Goat Simulator 3 was shown off. And I'm getting a sneeze coming up here in a minute somewhere. Excuse me. There it is.
Bless you.
Sorry. You got another one? No? Okay.
It'll sneak up on you later.
Yes, it will. I saw gameplay. Goat Simulator 3, whatever. You know what Goat Simulator is. Probably Warhammer 40K, Darktide is probably okay without gameplay, although I think they still showed it anyway. Nightingale showed some gameplay as well, and we talked about Shredder's Revenge. That showed gameplay. Witchfire was another game that looked really, really kind of cool, and I want to see more of it. It was a first-person shooter set in a fantasy world. It'll be on the Epic Game Store. It's coming soon. Didn't see much about it, but I liked what I saw. I'd like to see more. What else do we see here? Is it Genshin or Jensen? Genshin.
G-E-N-S-H-I-N?
Yeah.
Genshin.
Genshin Impact. Okay. Mm-hmm. The developers of that game showed off a game called Zenless Zone Zero. Whew. let's see what else. Warframe showed off a new, I guess, expansion, the Duviri Paradox. I don't know exactly what that is. Street Fighter 6 we talked about. Free to play RTS called Stormgate, that is getting a beta next year. And that is from a new studio, Frost Giant Studios, which was former Blizzard veterans. And it's going to be called Stormgate. One Piece World Premiere, or One Piece Odyssey, is what it was. I'm not familiar with that at all. Midnight Fight Express. That looked nice. It is an isometric action game with John Wick vibes. Cel-shaded art style. There is a demo out now on Steam. In fact, to mention that, I've got it in our news thing, but Steam's doing a big Steam Fest, Next Fest, whatever it's called, which is happening next week, which means there's going to be a ton of demos. You'll probably see a lot of those hit tomorrow during Xbox Bethesda thing. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about some games. Say, hey, look, demo's on the store right now. You can go play it. Because I remember them doing this last year. It's how I played Lake,
mm-hmm.
which is what we were talking about. I demoed Lake and a couple of others. You could just download those demos and play them. So Midnight Fight Express looked really cool. I probably will check that out. It's now on Steam with the demo. We got a look at a game called Flashback. Actually, Flashback 2. It's a sequel to the adventure game that was released back in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
30 years.
Been a minute.
30 years to make a sequel.
Yep.
I don't remember Flashback from 92. I don't remember that game.
I know it was on PlayStation Store a while back on sale. I think I picked it up.
I don't remember it at all.
It was another was it called Another World or Forgotten World? No, Forgotten World's Capcom. I think it was called Another World.
I know that one, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was available too. So I picked up Flashback, yeah. Yeah, but you're right. It's been a long time since you've had a sequel to that.
Yeah. Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, their DLC. There was some more reveal of that. Mm-hmm. Saints Row, of course, getting the character creator. We had
Boss Factory, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A very brief glimpse of some Gotham Knights stuff. It was more of a trailer than it was any kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
I guess. I'm not sure exactly. The way they were moving the camera around, I couldn't tell. Is this gameplay, but they've just repositioned the camera or given the camera some kind of free look thing
mm-hmm.
where they can kind of move? Because I said, this is... It looks like the assets they're using are actually in the game, but... There's no way this camera's moving around doing all this stuff while you're playing that I would think of.
Yeah.
I don't know. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, they showed that off, which looks like Call of Duty. Although, I have to say, I did watch the... So there was a trailer that released for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, but then there was gameplay released, mm-hmm. which we know what gameplay is for Call of Duty. We understand that. I get that.
Yeah.
This did not pull me in to want to play the game, but watching it, first off, made me nostalgic for the old days of when this was fresh to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When Call of Duty Modern Warfare was completely fresh, looked great, and was played fantastic in the multiplayer and everything else. But the water effects that I was seeing and is not... supposed to be in a Call of Duty game,
mm-hmm.
but it was really, really good. Really good. Either I haven't seen water effects in a while, and I am seeing something that has just been done in every other game.
You mentioned how good the water was in the Uncharted that you've played through.
Yeah. I would say the way the water effects are really good, especially the way they deal with characters, but the water effects that were being used on this... Because you start the game in water,
mm-hmm.
and then
underwater.
Kind of like you're infiltrating a ship or something like that.
Yeah.
So you started in the water, and that's fine. The water, as far as the ocean's concerned, looks whatever. It was when they got onto the boat because it's raining, it's storming, it's at night.
Okay,
it's when they got onto the boat and you could see water. Trailing off the handrails of steps, you know, beating and falling and everything else. Just amazing looking. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. The water effects were just really, really something to see. Mm-hmm. Not something that I expected from you know, the Call of Duty folks.
Right.
Nothing at all. I mean, I know that they've done water before, but it was just really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really, really cool. We had that for Call of Duty. Then Callisto Protocol was shown off. And, of course, this is our Dead Space, spiritual successor.
Spiritual successor to Dead Space, yeah.
Because it is people from Volition. Isn't it Volition? Or is it...
Was Visceral?
It was Visceral. Yeah. So, yeah, Callisto Protocol was shown off there as well. That concludes... the Summer Game Fest stuff, if I caught it all, and I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I could be missing some of it, put it that way. It was a lot. Like, I found And I know Lethal Migraine mentioned he can't stand Jeff Keighley. For the most part, I'm right there with you. So I miss this whole thing, which is another little, tiny little nitpick that I have with it. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a sense of, I knew that we had some stuff coming up. A new Xbox Bethesda was going to be taking place Sunday. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought the whole Summer Game Fest thing was going to take place. Like, I thought Microsoft Bethesda kind of kicked off the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Summer Game Fest stuff would come next week. Turns out the Summer Game Fest stuff started this past Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have time. The stream, if you go find the stream, it's like 3.5 hours, some 5 hours. If you're counting the lead-in, the pre-show, the post-show, and everything else. I don't need the pre-show or the post-show, but I ain't got 3 hours in the middle of a Thursday to watch the thing.
Sounds like convention-level scheduling now.
Right.
Yeah, because like if anyone travels to conventions or whatever, it's like it's usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they call Thursday day zero.
Yeah,
so when you get there and it gets everything set up, but they're starting on day zero. That's not the usual schedule that I'm used to for that. Yeah, so on a Thursday work day for 3 hours? Goodness.
Yeah. I know they're not doing it for me. I get that. But it was one of those things where it's like, man, I really have... Life has really changed because I don't have 3 hours anymore in the middle of a day to set aside to try and sneak in some reveal stuff, you know, while I'm busy working and stuff. It's just, there was no way. There was no way.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, you know what? I'll catch a recap later. Little did I know that it was very hard to find a recap of this thing. Obviously the websites and stuff. What I wanted to do was go to YouTube, find, like, just show me the highlights of the thing.
Yeah. Take it from 3 hours to like 25, 30 minutes.
So IGN posted something that was real quick clips of all the games that were shown or trailers that were shown with their own music behind it. Nothing. So when it was showing off the Alien stuff from Alien Dark Harvest or Dark Descent, when it was showing that stuff off, had some music behind it. You couldn't hear any of the sound effects or dialogue or anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if it got a title or something on the thing. I was just like, okay, this is not what I'm here to see. It was only about, I don't know, 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but or maybe even less than that. And I was just like, nope, this is not what I want. I want to see the full trailers with audio and everything else. But what I want is none of the fluff in between of people introducing the game, people talking about it afterwards. I don't want any of that. So CNET put something together that was just the trailers. And that was a great way to watch them, man. I didn't really like all the ads that kept popping up, but I was watching on my TV and not on my PC, which is where I got my ad blocker, so I don't have to worry about that. But watching the video that they put together, which was about 30-some-odd minutes.
Yep.
But it was trailer into a trailer into a trailer into a trailer. There was nobody in between talking about it except for Warhammer 40K. That got somebody talking about it, and then it went into the trailer. I don't know if their editing was just lazy or whatever the case may be, but so they did a great job at that. What else did we get? We got the Day of the Devs. It's another thing, part of Summer Game Fest, and it's more indie-titled, which, from everything that I've heard, this type of presentation or these type of games sort of outshine the big... bombastic, like, here's our big AAA things, Aliens and Saints Row and all this. Is nope, here's a game called Time Flies. You play as a fly, you know, you do these little things. It's just a little indie game.
Mm-hmm.
It's part open, or Time Flies is part open world, part flight simulator, because you play as a fly. It'll be out on the Switch, PlayStation, and Windows in 2023. Planet of Lana, an off-Earth odyssey, was shown off. It's a cinematic puzzle adventure coming to PC and Xbox sometime this year. Choo Choo Charles, or Charlie, which I keep wanting to call him, but that's the one where the train is, you know, it's very scary. It's a terrifying train horror game. Expected to be out in 2022 from Two Star Games as the developer. Escape Academy A game about a school for escape room experts is launching on July 14th. That date is significant for only one reason. Con Air. what do we have? A Little to the Left, which is an organizational puzzle game, but you kind of play as a cat who just likes to knock things over. Bear and Breakfast. You play as a bear who runs a bed and breakfast.
Okay. See, the indie titles is where all the originality comes from.
Really
folks.
Does. Yeah, it does. It's fantastic. Yeah.
They have to, because that's what makes them stand out.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the money for AAA stuff, so they got to come up
so you got to use your imagination. Yeah.
Animal Well is a trippy puzzle game, and the trailer for it's actually a puzzle. The first 10 people to figure it out would win the game. It's coming to PlayStation 5 and Windows PC via Steam. I have not watched that trailer. This is the first time I've seen some of this. Mm-hmm. Naiad, it's a swimming puzzle game. It's got serene water environments rendered in lovely colors. Desta, The Memories Between. Monument Valley Developers is the one behind this, which is also a puzzle type game, so I'm kind of curious about that. Skim, I guess? S-C-H-I-M. It's a 3D platforming game that has players jumping from shadow to shadow. Fox and Frog Travelers, The Demon of Adashino Island.
Fox and Frog.
Yeah, you play as a fox that's traveling with a frog. And there's probably more to it than that, but I haven't seen the trailer for this. Goodbye World is an indie game about indie game creators. Created using pixel art. It is expected out later this year. I don't know much about it. Again, I'm just reading these descriptions from this website because I have not watched Day of the Devs. I really need to. Especially after all these things that I'm reading here. I really need to read it.
They got your interest, right?
Yeah. This one called Birth, it says, do you want to make a creature out of bones and organs? Well, then Birth is the puzzle game for you. It'll be out in August. Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland. Do you remember the old NES game called Little Nemo? Yeah, it's exactly what this is. How to Say Goodbye. Well, that sounds sad. It's a game about a ghost trying to accept their recent death. It looks beautiful, like a children's book with lots of puzzles. It'll be out in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Day of the Devs. Excuse me. Did I get... there we go. Devolver Digital did their E3 thing. Wendy and I watched this last night all the way through.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
They're still Devolver Digital.
Yeah. They're still getting it done the way that they always get it done. And it's going really well for them, so... Continue what you're doing, Devolver. You're doing it very well. Roller Champions. Oh, that sounds familiar. Lethal Migraine's asking me if I've ever played Roller Champions. Played Round Guard. But Roller Champions. Oh, that's the free-to-play Ubisoft game, the skate thing. Mm-hmm. I have not. And I don't know if it's any good or not. It's not.
Roller Derby.
Okay. Yeah, looking at it was like, it's not me. Although there was a game that was shown off, Winnie and I talked about this, from the state, I think it was the State of Play that Sony did about a week or so ago. And, man, I can't remember the title of it, but we talked about it last week. It was a roller derby game, but you had guns and you could shoot, and I really liked what I saw there.
Oh, was it the one that I thought was similar to the one Korean title S3? Like basically a running gun, a high-speed running gun with shooting. Yeah.
It had very, very Jet Set Radio vibes. In some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the aesthetics as far as the, you know, you're not in the city. You're in a roller derby type thing or whatever. So, but yeah. No, I'm sorry, Lethal, I haven't played that. Anyway, back to Devolver Digital for the little time we have here. They showed off more of Cult of the Lamb and gave a release date, August the 11th. Then they showed off a game called Angerfoot.
Is kicking involved?
Kicking's involved a lot.
Okay,
and
guessing.
So that's why I can't. It's just you kick. You also shoot, but you also kick. They showed off Card Shark, which we played the music for. Then there was a game called. Well, let's see. Yeah, there was more. There were two other games that they showed off. The Plucky Squire. You should watch the trailer for that if you get a chance, because that was really, really well done as far as a trailer is concerned. It starts off original enough. It is, you play as the Plucky Squire. You have a sword and you go on an adventure and you defeat bad guys, you get loot and everything else. And it's all told from the perspective of a storybook, a children's little storybook. Mm-hmm. And so you see the storybook on the desk and your character plays and goes through and does what it's supposed to do. And I guess you flip the page and then you're in the next thing and you solve puzzles and you do things. And
this sounds like something like a Comic Zone on the Sega back in the day.
Yeah, but it's not panels. Every page is the level type thing. I mean, you see the crease in the page and you move through. Mm-hmm. And then it changed. Then it introduced a second aspect of the game, which it's not that I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting it. When at the start of the trailer, I expected it. But as soon as they opened the storybook and then got into the storybook part, I thought, oh, that's a neat idea. And that looks kind of cool. Very, very Nintendo-esque.
Mm-hmm.
In whenever they take their characters like whatever Yoshi's yarn thing where everybody's made out of yarn.
Yeah.
Or Paper Mario, where everything's made out of paper. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. Little indie folks going after this, and it looks really good. And then it changed. And I was very, very surprised at the change that it made. And I thought, well, that's another level. And I'm being very vague because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet. Because for me, seeing it, I just thought, whoa, look at this. This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was okay with what it was doing before, but then when it, you know,
when the reveal happened,
when it changed, I thought, oh, I'm okay with this too.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then they showed off something called Skate Story. I don't know anything about it other than you skating, but it looks
more similar to Golf Story.
No. There's a trailer for it.
Okay.
It has nothing at all to do with Golf Story at all.
Okay.
This says, while skating games might be having somewhat of a renaissance as of late, there's quite a bit that sets Skate Story apart from the rest. In Skate Story, you play as a demon made of glass and pain, according to the trailer, skating through a beautiful yet ruthlessly oppressive underworld. Luckily, you manage to convince the devil to strike a deal with you. If you skate to the moon and swallow it, he'll allow you to leave hell, you know, scot-free, completely just whatever. You get to leave if you can skate to the moon and then eat it. Simple, right? Skate Story foregoes the usual chipper tone of skate games to provide us with something dark, moody, and dazzling. Safe to say we can't wait for it to hit PC in 2023. It's a really good-looking game.
Mm-hmm.
I say good-looking even though it's very polygonal.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of detail that you're seeing, but it still looks really good.
Well, so is Race to the Sun.
You should, You should, as they say in the Devolver Digital, you should check a look and see that. I would recommend anybody to watch if you haven't watched all the Devolver Digitals, you might be wondering what this is. But I can tell you that everything about it that you think might look cheesy, corny, and everything else is fully intentional.
Yeah.
When you watch these, if not, just find the game reveals from that showcase, because all of those are worth watching. Every single one of the trailers they showed at Devolver Digital are worth watching. It was only 30 minutes long. Thank you for condensing everything. Appreciate that whenever you do it. So that was great. We're going to take another break, and then when we come back, we will continue to dig into this stuff as much as we can until the top of the hour. The screen on my computer over here is completely black, and so I can't see what's going on in there. I don't know what's happened. I'm going to have to check cables when I get time. But anyway, that's why the Discord thing. So if anybody's in Discord, I apologize. I can't see you. I don't know if you're there, but I don't even know if Discord's working or if the computer is shut off. It may actually be shut off. Anyway, we'll be right back. Here is music from a game that came out. And dude spent, I have it in there, $10,000 on Diablo Immortal to get, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
And he got nothing of any value.
Yeah.
In other words, like you if you, they have a monetary system in there, and you pay it, and you might get something that's of value. Like I don't think you could sell it, but
it sounds like a typical things that happens in the EA sports games, right. Like FIFA. You don't get that pink diamond variant. No matter how much money you put in there, you're not getting it.
Ten grand.
You're not getting it.
Got nothing. Here's music from Diablo Immortal. Called Challenge Elder Rift. I don't know. We'll be right back. Legend of Zelda, welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is Link's Awakening, the main theme from it.
Mm-hmm.
There was water falling down, and I was like, is it raining, or is that
the building's doing building things again.
Yeah, that's just the what's it called? The condensation or the runoff or whatever.
A lot of condensation apparently,
I just thought, wow.
All at once.
It's daylight, and there's water coming off the roof. But all right. Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. So we're going to hit up what we can. I wanted to, and I should have looked this up. Yeah, Wholesome Direct 2022 highlights. That I need to go back and look at this, too, because that happened today. And I'm not sure what they showed off. Spirit Swap. Lo-Fi Beats to Match 3-2 is a Match 3 puzzle game with a lo-fi soundtrack and a story. Coffee Talk, Episode 2. Basically, it's just Coffee Talk sequel.
Mm.
Hibiscus and Butterfly is the name of that. It's a follow-up to the first game. Adada. It's a music toy made out of an isometric village where all the houses are instruments. Hey, I need to look up the Wholesome Direct because that sounds cool.
Mm.
The Garden Path. Looks like a perfect chill time, a slice of life in the garden. A new trailer debuted. Also, we had Solitaire. Not Solitaire, but Solitaire. It's a card-based gameplay and a game of story and interpretation. As long as it's not inspired by Souls, you know, the Souls games. what do we have? Paper Trail. It stands out for its stunning art and unique concept. You've got to fold pages of the world to move through the game. First trailer is out now, slated for 2023 release. Puff Pals Island Skies. It's got farming, creatures, custom avatars, and room decoration. Little Bear Chef.
Spell bear.
It's a bear.
Okay.
B-E-A-R.
Make sure.
The bear in Little Bear Chef is no exception. He is a bear. Who doesn't want to play as a cute bear cooking in a kitchen? That's a guess what you do. Snufkin, Melody of Moomin Valley. It's a musical adventure game sometime releasing in 2023. Melodicy is described as a stress-free adventure game with ASMR elements announced at the Wholesome Direct. I need to watch the Wholesome Direct because all of those games sound like something I want to see. Maybe play as well, but definitely want to see it. What else do we have? Oh yeah, the Xbox's thing is tomorrow. There was, let's see. I wanted to find, I had a schedule, and I wanted to find that schedule so that I could tell you, here, yeah, here we go, here's the all not E3 presentations taking place this week, so I can let you know what to be on the lookout for. That was June 6th, June 7th, June 9th, Devolver Digital, Friday the 10th, Saturday the 11th, the Guerrilla Collective was earlier this morning, Wholesome Games Direct was earlier today as well. The Future Game Show took place right when we were in on the air. Actually, no, just a little bit before. At 2 o'clock this afternoon is when the Future Game Show came on, which is basically the PC game show. Mm. Xbox Bethesda thing, that is tomorrow at noon our time, noon central. The PC Gaming Show is tomorrow at 2 central. The second Guerrilla Collective will be at 3 central. Then on Monday is the Capcom Showcase. That is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think there's more because I think this is a little bit outdated because there's been other things that have been announced. But I think we will have some more stuff coming up later. Lethal Migraine even mentioned that the Xbox Bethesda thing will show some stuff off tomorrow, and then sometime next week, I want to say you said it was Tuesday, I believe, they're going to have another 90-minute showcase, but they're going to go further in depth on some of the stuff that they're showing off tomorrow. So that'll be a second. Yeah, they're hosting a second extended game showcase on June 14th for that one. Did you ever get a chance to take a look at the Sonic Frontiers gameplay?
No, but I heard a lot of folks were complaining about it.
Yeah.
It didn't look too good.
Yeah,
it was that, and I saw a lot of complaints about the Sonic one. I saw a lot of complaints about the Pac-Man collection coming out as well.
Really?
A lot of things were missing from there that they really thought
on the Pac-Man collection?
Yeah, that shouldn't be. Like Miss Pac-Man is not there. So it's like some certain music things like that. We've talked about music before. Some licensing issue probably with that. But like certain games ain't in the Pac-Man collection. It's like that sounds like deal breakers to a lot of folks.
Miss Pac-Man's is probably in some legal waters there with who owns
Williams
the
Midway,
rights
something
or
like
something
that. Yeah.
Like that. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
But Bandai Namco, who released that Pac-Man collection, does not have Miss Pac-Man in the collection.
Yeah, so
has a lot of Pac-Man in there.
Well, yeah,
not
a lot.
Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, it's no. So. Yeah, despite how much you've got in there, it's noticeably missing, according to the people who've talked about it. But yeah, about the Sonic one, yeah, didn't see much of it, but a lot of folks had complaints about it.
Yeah,
a lot of folks.
What else? I'm looking through my stuff here. Let's see. Yeah, there was a Sonic Central stream that took place. Where to watch that? Steam Next Fest. We'll have hundreds of playable demos next week. And a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about that'll get released on Steam probably will have some sort of demo, especially in the indie game department, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of those want to get the games out there for people to play a little bit of. Oh, Maneater, the reverse Jaws, is available on Epic Game Store for free.
Shark Simulator. Yeah.
This week, yeah. Let's see. StarCraft II, we talked about that. Routine, Next of Us, everything shown at Summer Games Fest. I repeat a lot of this stuff because sometimes they leave things out, and I was just trying to make sure I had everybody covered. Castlevania is getting another season on Netflix.
Nice.
Which is good. But they're going to a different Belmont. I don't know which one. I don't recognize the Belmont that they're showing in the teaser for this thing.
Okay.
Actually, I tell you what, there's an article here. Why don't I click on it, you moron? Richter.
Richter Belmont. Okay.
Damn near killed her.
I'm trying to think. Is that the Symphony of the Night protagonist?
I don't know. I'm not.
Okay, it was
Alucard. The show.
Okay, let me see.
I don't know the.
I want to say Symphony of the Night.
The family line.
I think I want to say Symphony of the Night.
You're right.
Three was
Richter Belmont, Richter, star of Rondo of Blood and Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, Alucard, Richter, and Maria. The witch.
Well, they were in the first. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, no, Maria. That wasn't. No, no, no. That was. Sifa?
Okay, her name was Sifa.
In the show.
I think if I'm not mistaken, Maria was like a descendant of hers in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was because playing on the Genesis was three playable characters, Richter, Maria, and Alucard. Yeah.
Really, really looking forward to that. There was no date, just like, hey, we're doing it. And I was like, good. So, glad to see that. Okay, so there's some articles here that I want to carry over into next week, while I can. Things about like, does E3 need to come back? And E3 has said that, hey, we're going to do another show next year. They said they were going to do a show this year, but they canceled that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jeff Keighley is doing a Summer Games Fest, which he's been doing for the past couple of years now, usually digital only, especially during the pandemic. Actually, yeah, it started in 2020.
Yeah.
He's planning to do a physical in-person Summer Games Fest thing around the same time that E3 is going to do whatever they're doing. So I don't know if it's a competition. It shouldn't
be. Sounds like.
It shouldn't be, though.
I know it shouldn't be, but it sounds like it is.
I would say we should get E3 and we should get Summer Games Fest. We should get both. But at the same time, if they go head-to-head,
yeah,
who
the advertiser is going to go with.
Well, I'm real curious as to, like, well, who are the game companies going to go with? And will there be money involved, even though there should not be, but will there be?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how Jeff's going to do his, like, physical thing. I know what the E3 does. They rent out the convention center, and then you buy booth space to showcase your wares. I don't know how Jeff's going to do that. I don't know how that's all going to work out.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, the more of these, the better, I say. I'm all for that, you know. I'm all for PAX has had to shut down a couple of their things.
Yeah.
Like, they shut down PAX South, and I thought they cut out another PAX that I can't remember. I could be wrong, but they did shut down PAX South, so no more of those.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'd be more than happy for others to kind of crop up, especially if they open it up for people to go and enjoy these things. And not... Yeah, you can get in, but only if you're a member of the press. Or you can get in, but you need to pay this exorbitant amount, like $400, for a ticket to get into the thing.
Yeah.
Stop it. Don't do that. You know, it would be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious how it'll work out. But, yeah, we'll get an E3. And that's the other thing that I was going to say. I'm okay with E3 going away. I just miss the organization. Mm-hmm. Not the organization of the company, the organization of today it's this, tomorrow it's this, tomorrow it's that. You know, I liked when we had, and Summer Game Fest is needs to be around because there's a ton of stuff they showed off, you know, but I kind of miss the old scheduling of how it used to be where it's like, okay, Microsoft's the first one. Then it's Sony, then Nintendo on the other day, or Ubisoft and EA, and that sort of thing. And you're just not getting any of that. In fact, I haven't even heard that you... I guess we already talked about Ubisoft not doing a presentation this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or did we? I don't remember that. But I don't see anything on the list of, you know, what's going to be... that Ubisoft is showing anything off.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they've got something set for later in the, you know, summer.
Maybe.
Be nice, so we can get my Splinter Cell disappointment in.
Hey, look. How long did it take Flashback to get a sequel?
That's true. 30 years.
You willing to wait that long?
I don't know. I'm thinking about changing down my countdown now to say, instead of doing the days, like, it's been this many years, this many days, this many hours.
Yep.
You know, something that is way more, you know, detailed as far as what can be shown. Mm-hmm. I get you, Lethal. I'm fine. I don't need a Ubisoft one, but if there isn't a Ubisoft one, that means I won't get disappointed that there is no that there's no Splinter Cell. So Drunk Degenerate says, I'm hoping for some Dragon's Dogma 2 in the Capcom thing on Monday. So what else do we have? God of War is still planned to release this November, although there was some rumors about it possibly getting delayed into next year. The report says that, nope, it's still on for a 2022 release.
There's a lot of 2022 left, and...
There is. I don't think it'll make it.
Yeah, no. We expect big titles to be pushed back or delayed at least once nowadays.
They've showed very little of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I say that.
And the less you show, the more likely you're going to be pushed back a little bit.
Well, maybe. For one, it's a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That means that maybe they don't have to show it off because we know how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Although it will be for the PS5, which God of War was PS4 when it released. So this will be, I say it'll be for PS5. It might get a PS5 or it may get
upgrade thing.
Might get a dual release type thing. I know, man. Drunk DeGeneres says, hopefully they don't break their backs bending over backwards to make God of War happen this year. I hope so as well. I would, you know, it's one of those things where Sony needs to get something out like that.
Mm.
But I say that, and I'm not sure they do. They released Horizon this year.
Yeah.
What other first-party titles did they release this year? I can't think of any.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank, dude. I'm sure there's been others, and I'm doing them a horrible job of not knowing what they are, forgetting what they are. But I don't think they have anything lined up for a fall release. You know, Sony themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, there's some third-party stuff that's going to release on the PlayStation 5. I get that. But Sony actually having one of their in-house dev studios releasing something exclusively on their system, I don't know of anything that's in the works for this year other than God of War. There could, well, I forget that they bought a couple of places, you know, like now they own Bungie.
Yeah.
Bungie doesn't have anything planned for this fall winter type thing, but they also bought a couple of other studios, so maybe there's something in the pipe from them, but I don't think so. I mean, they show I'm going back to the state of play, and I'm like, what did we get big from there? We got Final Fantasy 16, but that's next year. We got the Street Fighter stuff.
Yeah,
is that Street Fighter next year or this year?
Next year.
Okay. So we got Street Fighter stuff. Not much that I remember saying that, hey, it'll... They showed off Spider-Man, but that was only for the PC release.
Hmm.
Last of Us Remake is coming out this fall.
Yeah.
I don't know. Drunk says, where's the little devil inside? I know. We're supposed to be getting that. Well, I'm sure PlayStation will have something coming up either later this month or next month for another State of Play.
Forspoken? Is that exclusive?
I don't know that it's exclusive. Yeah. It might be. It might be console exclusive, yes.
Okay, but not PC.
But it's an Epic Game Store thing on PC.
Oh, okay. Never
so mind. It will be exclusive there as well. But
yeah, never mind.
So, let's see. I'm looking through my news notes here. It does look like the fall isn't going to be that great this year. Which is fine with, you know, everything else going on. Fine. Let's not buy a bunch of games, right?
That's fine. Hey,
save that money for gas.
Hey, hey, and hit that backlog while you're at it. What's this? It's in the triple digits by now.
I know.
I'm getting there.
Well, the thing is, if God of War is going to release this year and we get a confirmation on that, then I need to go back and replay the first one to get Wendy caught up to play the second. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's a couple of other things. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the whole E3 sort of situation. I wanted to talk about their trailers as far as what I see on the trailers. Got to fix that because we sat there for 30 minutes watching trailers, and for the most part, I was like, there's no gameplay. There's no gameplay. I'm excited for this because it's okay, that's neat, but you didn't show me anything.
Yeah.
You didn't show me a reason to kind of get excited for this. Other than to get excited for, hopefully I'll see some gameplay of that. I'm interested in your game, but without gameplay, I can't.
Yeah, you talked about it last week with Final Fantasy. You said it excited you, got you interested, but you couldn't tell how
what was cutscene, what was gameplay?
What was cutscene, what was gameplay, that thin line. You couldn't tell which was which.
Yeah, but I was still interested in it, but I still wanted to see more.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these trailers that showed off stuff that wasn't in the game, I'm sure excited some people that, oh, we're getting a game based on this, or that looks interesting just for myself. Fort Solace is one of those where I don't think there was a single lick of gameplay. Mm-hmm. There was some dialogue. The intention of the trailer, I think, was to be mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're going to let that slow burn into the reveal. Probably a game that's not going to come out until next year.
Yeah.
So sure, be coy about it.
Be forgotten.
But yeah, and then be forgotten whenever it gets out. Routine was another one they didn't show any gameplay of that we know of. What I was seeing could have been gameplay, I suppose.
Mm.
Didn't look like it was, but it could have been. It'll be interesting to see if Microsoft does their thing tomorrow, where it's like everything is. These next games that are coming out are exclusive, are going to be Game Pass games, which helps you a little bit because it doesn't matter what gameplay they show. It'll be on Game Pass. You can play it with your subscription. But it'll be interesting to see how that works out, too. So anyway, that is going to wrap it up for, 95 minutes of crap. Exactly. That is going to wrap it up for us today. We will be back next week to cover everything that happens tomorrow. Enjoy your not E3 days of stuff that's going on, and it's just a whole summer of things that we're going to get. Got music here from a game called Scully. It's about a skull. And it's called On Our Way. So you guys have a great week. Enjoy it. And we will see you next week. Wendy, I'll see you soon. And look at the camera, not the TV. Look at the camera. Anyway, here's the music. Bye.